Hello, and welcome to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. This is where we look at various nutrition and fitness-related topics through the lens of application. We want to give you practical takeaways so that you can create your healthiest, best self backed by knowledge. Now, onto the episode with your host, Coach Lisa.
Hello, and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm going to talk about how to build a life that you love. Before I get into it though, if you enjoy the show, please do me a favor, subscribe, hit the ratings and review button, share it on your social media. It is the best way to help us grow. Now, also just a quick little Lisa update, I guess. I know you always listen to these or get these a few weeks delayed. Nonetheless, I'm going to do them in real time. So it's been a couple of weeks since I've come back from Brazil, and I have two more weeks here in Bogota in Colombia before I'm heading over to Mexico. I just figured it would be nice to soak up some sun for a few weeks before going over to Europe for the summer. See my family, and you never really know with German weather, at least not in May. June, July tends to be a bit more stabler, more stable or steadier. But yeah, in any case, I am really looking forward to going to Playa del Carmen, which is where I have already, or I was 2 years ago for 7 months. I loved it there, absolutely loved it there. It's going to be quite the change from this city life here and just having everything and my fingertips. I mean, Playa del Carmen is pretty developed, I'm going to say, where there is, you know, a great gym, tons and tons of restaurants and cafes and all of that. But still, it will be a change in my routine. And of course, especially with these 7 or more months here in Colombia coming to an end, I also need to pack everything up that I have here. I'm going to miss this apartment for sure. And just some of the real Colombian and benefits I have been enjoying. But in any case, it's going to be a nice little change. Also, we are just launching our first small group coaching model. We have never trialed anything like this before. And reason being really mostly to offer also something for people that are completely new to macros, as of course are some of our clients, but also sometimes the extra group support can actually be really, really helpful. It's gonna be at a lower price point because it's less of an individual touch point with me, with your coach. So we have a bi-weekly group coaching call, and in between that I'm available via email, etc. But it's not as personal, because normally my clients, they get my phone number for, you know, texting or WhatsApp or whatever, and we really touch base on a weekly basis. They can leave me voice messages whenever, so it's not quite going to be quite as hands-on, but I think it could be a really great option for people. I'm only taking on 5 or 6 ladies, so a couple of spots are still remaining. By the time you listen to this, we will be well on our way. It's going to be a 16-week coaching model, and I'm mainly looking for ladies that want to lose about roughly about 10 pounds during that time. Of course, they can always continue the journey afterwards on their own, hopefully more or better equipped than they currently are, or than obviously since they're new to macros, but just feeling secure in their own journey. Or also, you know, we're setting them up for a reverse diet afterwards. So in any case, let's get into today's episode, which is how to build a life that you love. Why is this so important? Why is this so important to me in particular? Why it's important is kind of obvious. Everyone wants to be living a life that they love, right? but it is very important to me in particular because it's part of my mission and vision statement. I want to help people live happier and healthier lives, whether that be by guiding them towards a body that they love, or educating them more, or giving them more food freedom, better relationship with food, or simply inspiring and motivating them to live a more authentic and real life, and really making the most out of the time that we're given here on earth. Because I truly think life is such a gift and we shouldn't take it for granted. And so, I mean, the other reason is also that we hear in so many podcasts or books or movies or whatever that so many people die with regret. And the only real time where we can make adjustments is the present. I think every day we're presented with opportunities to improve our lives, to make our lives less good also at the same time, or just to continue on the same trajectory, but still the same trajectory doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to stay good or be good, because A, the things that have led us to a good place are not necessarily the things that are going to keep us at a good place, and B, even if we just, like how they often say, like if a ship, I don't know how many miles it's going to travel, or an airplane or whatever, if it's off course by like 1%, it's going to land way, 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 way off mark if it goes the same distance at the same speed than where it actually wants to end up. And so people, I think it's often those small things where we don't necessarily in the moment realize that that's taking us off part of where we want to actually go to, or like a happy life. And yeah, I think we really need to learn to like savor all these individual situations, these individual opportunities that we have. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, another opportunity will come around. And I'm like trying to really internalize that as best as possible at the moment. As you or some of you might know, I am on the dating market. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I should have spoken to this person. Darn, I might not ever see this this person again. Or, you know, it's, I guess some opportunities only come around once, right? but why do so many people have regrets, die with regrets, or live with regrets also? And I think generally speaking, we all make mistakes, but they only turn into regrets if we keep doing them and we don't learn from them. So it's, I think it's absolutely fine to fail, to have mistakes, and to grow from them. They can be great growth opportunities. And a little bit later on, we'll talk about why they're actually part of being happier. But in any case, so why do so many people have regrets? I think the main reason is that they're lacking clarity on what it is that they actually want. They might know what they don't want, or they might know what doesn't feel good to them, or they might think they want something and then they get it and then it doesn't actually feel good, or it doesn't feel authentic to them. So still, I think the clarity part is often lacking. And that's sometimes even in coaching, I see that when people come to us and they're like, oh, you tell me what my goal should be. I'm like, well, I can't tell you. I can tell you what I can see in terms of potential, like physique-wise, or what I think might be possible, but I don't know if that is what you actually want. And I don't actually know if that is feasible for you and your lifestyle and your internal values and everything. So unfortunately, as much as I wish that each one of us was born with a little card that just said, hey, this is Lisa, here is her absolute highest potential, please aim for that in whichever fashion you can, here is the manual, etc. Unfortunately, that's just not how it works. And actually, there's a beauty behind that, because it gives us all the freedom. And unfortunately, that's not always a good thing, because I know that very, very well. I often feel overwhelmed when going shopping. Not just like any kind of shopping, but like food shopping even, or clothes shopping more than anything. If you have too much to choose from, it is so hard. I sometimes wish, you know, just give me five to select from. It makes life so much easier. But the fact that we have all these avenues to go down to, we can live in a city, we can live rurally, we can be a stay-at-home mom, we can work in this and that job, we can work, have two different jobs and, you know, part-time, we can travel. Like, it is, the opportunities are unlimited. So anyway, the other reason why I think a lot of people die with regrets is because we often feel compelled to live by society's expectations and rules, consciously or unconsciously. I think most people unconsciously. I think most of the time we just walk and live the path that's laid out in front of us. Go to school, go to university, get a job, have a mortgage, you know, whatever, get a house, get married, get a dog, have some kids, and blah, 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 blah. And none of that is negative in and of its own. However, if you're only doing something because you think you have to or because you can't think of a different option, that is different. When you then get to your 40s and you're like, oh, I wish I would have taken a year between university and getting a job to just travel, or I wish I would have had, like two dogs and lived in an apartment, even though everyone said I should have a house and two cars, or like whatever it is, right? Like, we often just don't pause to think about what it is we actually want. And I know that so well. I lived for such a long time according to what I thought my parents wanted, and like, yeah, what was quote unquote normal, just to then wake up one day and be like, hypothetically, I have everything that I should want. I should be fulfilled. I have a great job. I have a beautiful house. I have a, you know, kind husband. Is it always great? No, but it's also not bad. It's all good. But like, why am I feeling unhappy? And then at some point realizing, well, actually, I don't want to have a, you know, secure, steady job like that. I don't want to live in a house like this. I don't want to, like, just waking up and realizing all these things. It took some time. And I see that more and more when people at some stage wake up and they're like, whoa, I was just kind of an autopilot. So if these are things that you consciously choose, you won't have regrets. But if you do things just to please other people or because you think it is the norm and you never question or think about what else might be out there for you, and you think this is just for other people, this is not for me, then I think this could lead to regret. So here are some of the action steps I think we can take in order to create the life that we truly love. Number one, we need to make time to think about what we want. We need to gain clarity. Clarity is not going to, most of the time, is not going to come to us in the midst of chaos, in the midst of picking up your kids from school, dropping them off here, preparing dinner. Blah, blah, blah. It is not. You need to actually make time to think about what it is that you want. I think oftentimes that the things that we don't want speak to us when we're in that sort of chaos, when we're like, oh, I feel so overwhelmed. This is like, you know, Groundhog Day. Every single day is the same. And you realize I don't want that. Or you see other people and you think I don't want that. But it's very rare that we think, oh, I want exactly that and I'm going to go out and do that. What I do think often happens is we see something in someone else and we admire that and we think, whoa, that is so cool. Know that when that happens, you have the possibility for that, or the potential for that, or the opportunity for that within you. If you see something in someone else, that means you have the potential for that within you also, whether you believe it or not. Of course, you know, if you look at a 20-year-old and you're currently 50 and you see something that she has achieved or that she does and you love that, you're going to have you have the potential for your own version of that, not necessarily that exact same thing. But I vividly remember thinking and dreaming while being stuck in a shift work job thing, or feeling stuck in a shift work job, thinking, whoa, I want to live like, there was like this, the group, like two girls, they were called the Bucket List Bombshells. They were running some online courses about how to do, I think, graphic design or something like that. And every month they were somewhere else. So it was these two best friends, I forget their name. And I loved their content. I was like, I want to live like that. And now I have been a digital nomad for 5 years. There was another lady called Regan Hillier. If you have not heard of her, I highly recommend looking at her content. Nowadays, it's a little bit more woohoo type thing, but she has a lot of great content on intention setting, on manifestation, visualization, that sort of stuff. So if you're interested in that, very much recommend that. But in any case, going back to my point, we need to make time to think about what we want. It also is helpful still to know what you don't want. However, I do want to caution that and say that don't argue with reality. So don't turn this into, oh, I wish this wasn't like that. I wish my partner was more loving. I wish my job situations were different. Things are as they are. You need to accept them as they are. You cannot change other people. All you can do is communicate well with them what you want, what you need, and communicate your feelings with them and everything else. But don't go about and try and change people or reality. Don't argue with reality. I think that's such an important thing to always keep in the back of our minds. If you're sitting in traffic, if you're getting sick, if you've had an injury, things that happened in the past that you can't change anyway, do not argue with reality. It is what it is. So still, think about what you want, what you don't want. Think about who you admire, what you admire in them. You can create your own version of a role model by compiling different qualities from different people and make them into your personal role model mashup sort of thing. A few helpful questions that could potentially help you just figure out what sort of life you want to live, because that's really what we're asking. What kind of life do I want to lead? Who do I need to be in order to live this life? Or what qualities do I need to adapt in order to live this life? So a few helpful questions could be, when I'm on my deathbed, when I'm on my deathbed, what would I want to have spent more or less time with? So if you're 85 years old, or ask your 85-year-old self, what do you wish I would have spent less time doing? And also, what people do you wish I would have spent less or more time with? Who recharges me? Who drains me? Who do I either need to cut out of my life completely? Who do I just need to limit my time with? Who do I want to bring into my life? What kind of person? And then other questions to ask more in the work sort of area, or potentially if you're feeling stuck with whatever your purpose is here, thinking about, what do I currently think is productive but really isn't? So like texting back and forth with people all the time, not really that productive most of the time. Can we just sum that up in one larger text once a day, as opposed to, you know, every 20 minutes being pulled out of what we're currently doing and losing focus? Or, you know, sending out one larger voice message once a week or once every 2 days or so to clear stuff up, to organize things, as opposed to this constant back and forth. Social media in general, other time wasters like sitting in traffic, or, you know, you obviously don't think that that's productive, but still, what are some things you think are productive but really isn't? And then other things, what do you think is not productive but really is? So for instance, oftentimes we get a guilty conscience if we're not doing anything, especially if you're, you know, a hustler and you have a ton of things to do, you have a never-ending checklist of things you want to get accomplished. But sometimes it is really productive to go on a coffee date with a friend and just to brainstorm certain ideas, or to do something for free for someone that might seem like a waste of time, but in the long run, it's going to be somewhat productive. So, okay, let's say now that you have completed step number one of what you really want. You have a clear idea of what you would want your life to look like, who you want to become. The next step is simply, just like with weight loss things, to reverse engineer. So to think about what things have to have happened in order for me to get to that place. I have recently, I don't know if you can tell, it would be great if people are able to tell, but I have recently started working with a storytelling coach. I've only had one session with her, to be fair. But I have a storytelling coach because I want to be more relatable. I do think I have a lot of stories to tell, but I've always seen myself more as an educator. And I have not been brought up, or I wasn't brought up the way of telling stories. My parents are not that way, where they just say, oh, you know, remember 5 years ago when they have so many journeys, like they have traveled and seen the world and lots and lots of experiences, but they were never storytellers, not at the dinner table, not even now when you ask about certain things. Very, you know, more factual German people where it's like, you do talk about the same things over and over again, but nothing really ever gets talked about. It's a little bit frustrating at times. I love my family dearly, but anyway, so I want to be a better storyteller because I truly admire that in other people. I admire that in other podcasters. I admire that in other influencers. I love that in books. And I think it makes learning so much easier if people add metaphors, analogies, and also personal stories where people then feel like, oh, okay, I remember he was talking about glucose regulation and then told the story of what he ate in one day and one another day and how different that was or how different he felt or whatever. So anyways, I am working with this storytelling coach. And so what we did in our initial first session that we had last week was simply for her to ask me, okay, what do you want to have happened in 6 months' time? How would you define success? Because equally, you could ask yourself, how would you define having lived a successful life, a happy, a fulfilled life? And then she really dug deep, and I didn't expect that. And it was so draining. It was a two-hour call, and I really felt like, whoa, I have just run a marathon, and someone drove over my brain. I couldn't think about anything anymore afterwards. But anyway, so she said, if this is going to be true, your goals, or have come true, what will have had to have happened by that time? What will I have done? So essentially, okay, in 6 months' time, storytelling will feel natural to me. I will have implemented a personal story in each one of my newsletters, in every solo podcast episode, someone on a date might recognize positively that I can tell great stories or something like that. Anyway, so if that is the truth, in 6 months' time, by that time, or when we had our initial call, it was beginning of April or end of March, so by the end of September, so then by the end of August, what would have had to have happened in order for that to be true? What will I have done? And we broke it down month by month, month by month. And of course, her as a coach, that also helps to tick things off as we go so that at the end of our coaching, I cannot be like, oh, we never really did any of what I thought I was going to achieve. And she can be exactly like, hey, this is what you thought you wanted, right? Another concept, regardless of the storytelling coach story here, I heard on a podcast just recently and I loved it. So this was, I think, a psychologist or a therapist or something like that. And he was talking to one of his patients several decades ago. So this person being interviewed, he was like 80 years old. But he said in his early practice, he encountered many men who came to him and said, I'm so drained. I'm doing everything that I can. I'm trying to put the best into work. When I come home from work, I'm playing with my kids for a little bit, and then I try to be a good husband. On the weekend, I spend all the time with my family or try to spend as much time with my family, and still no one is satisfied or thinks I'm doing enough, and I am certainly not happy. What am I doing wrong? So they came up with this concept of reverse thinking. Essentially, before the weekend, for instance, he would now go to his children, go to his wife and said, if this was going to be a great weekend, what will have happened in order for this to be true? And then the kids might be like, you're going to play football with me outside for an hour, and then I get to play on with my card game here for a little bit, and then we watch TV, and then I get to play with my friend, and that would be a great weekend. And he's like, oh, wow, I thought I would have to spend the entire weekend with you. That actually frees up some time for me. And he asked the same thing for his wife. If this was going to be a great weekend, what would have had to have happened in order for this to be true? And she would say, we would tidy up the house together. You would help me with XYZ particulars. And then we go for a nice walk and I get to relax in my chair and read a book. And he was like, oh, wow, actually, she doesn't want me to spend the entire time. And so by now, this was like 50 years ago, by now, this therapist has also adapted this reverse thinking in his own life to literally everything. He says it happens so naturally. Every morning he thinks, if this was to be a great day, what would have happened? I can't say the sentence, you know what I mean? In order for this to be true. And then basically script, I've spoken about this, a similar concept, which is called scripting before. So you essentially map out what you want to happen. Of course, we can't be 1,000,000% attached to the outcome, because life happens, things happen, you get a flat tire, and you can't really ultimately direct how people function or feel. But still, mapping these things out gives you clear action steps, gives you a clear direction. So I can't stress this more, or too much. Point number three for creating the life that a life that you love: thinking about what happiness actually means to you. And I don't really like speaking about happiness that much, because for me, happiness really is more of a feeling. It does feel more fleeting. I really like thinking in terms of life as a contentedness, or just being content, being fulfilled with what you have and who you are. According to Arthur C. Brooks, who's a happiness researcher, who wrote From Strength to Strength, who wrote How to Build the Life That You Want, a book that I just recently finished, great book. According to him, happiness has three main ingredients. The first one being satisfaction, second one being purpose, and the third one being enjoyment. And I think we can break each one of those down more clearly to understand what each one of them means. So essentially, he said satisfaction really is the feeling that you achieve after you overcome struggle or after you achieve something. It is more fleeting, for sure, but when you check off all your things from your to-do list, that is satisfaction. When you finish your workout successfully, that is satisfaction. When you finish a work deadline, that is satisfaction. When you have a good outcome of an uncomfortable conversation with your partner, that is satisfaction. More often than not, it includes delaying gratification. It includes doing hard things. So in order to be happy, in order to have one of the three crucial ingredients for happiness, we need to do something that feels like a struggle. It doesn't mean doing the worst workout of all times or the hardest workout of all times. No, it simply means you don't feel like doing it, and you do it anyway because you know it's good for you, and you finish it, and then you're feeling satisfied. The second one, purpose, is a little bit harder. I think so many people nowadays feel lost in what their purpose is, what their purpose should be, and you can really find purpose in anything. You can feel purpose and fulfillment in being a mom, in your job, in just anything outside of you, essentially. Anything that is not internal, where you're contributing, you feel like you're important in this world. This is why very often people that get older and they don't have work anymore, they don't have a family, or their family doesn't quote unquote need them, feel like they're not needed, a big part of their happiness falls away. So continuing to look for a purpose, if that's in a church group, if that is as a coach, and it can be a volunteer coach, in any kind of way, if you feel like you're contributing, this bucket is going to be much more easily filled up. The third bucket being enjoyment, in my opinion, has a lot to do with gratitude practice. So learning to appreciate the little things, the cup of coffee, a nice family afternoon playing, doing a puzzle, and also, to the point of earlier, letting things be exactly as they are, while striving for doing your best, for being better, but letting the things on the outside that you cannot control simply be as they are. So once again, in order to be happy, you need to have found or need to regularly cultivate satisfaction by overcoming a struggle. You need to have a purpose, find a purpose, and it's also very helpful to have multiple purpose hats, because if you put all your eggs into the mom basket, into the I'm a coach basket, that becomes your sole identity. And then if that ever fell away for some reason, you know, your kids grow up or you can't practice your job anymore, can't do this and that anymore, then you're going to struggle a lot. So if you have multiple purpose hats or buckets, that is very, very useful. And then lastly, the third ingredient for happiness was enjoyment. So cultivating that through gratitude practice, being able to enjoy the little things more, a sunrise, a sunset, noticing things. Often we go through our lives with such blinders on and we don't even notice, oh, that was a beautiful flower. Oh, that was a lovely song. Or like appreciating those. And then the fourth step in creating a life that you love is just, like with nutrition as well, doing small but steady, continuous steps towards exactly that, towards your goal. It is in the daily things. It's not in the, sometimes it is in the big actions, you know, like quitting your job or marrying the person that you love or moving to a certain place. But generally speaking, that would have been an accumulation of smaller steps beforehand, like searching out what better job you want to do or building that great relationship with that person that you're marrying or researching where you and how you really want to live. So small but steady, continuously executing the gratitude practice, continuously evaluating or regularly evaluating, is this still in line with what I want? Because give yourself permission to change your mind. It is natural that your goals are going to change over the course of your life, your decade, the decades. It's not going to be the same if you started with goal setting when you're 20 or 30. Your idea of happiness or the life that you love might be very different to the idea that you might have when you're 50. So listen to your intuition. Give yourself permission to change your mind and feel into what feels good and what drains you, but not in the sense of, oh, I'm just going to sit on the couch and do nothing. More in the sense of long term. What are the things that give you energy as opposed to rob you of energy? So let me summarize that once again, even though that was already four action steps, but still let me summarize that once again. So we need to find clarity. A thing to find clarity, and I do share some of that sometimes on my social media, on Instagram in particular, sometimes is weekly reflections, in it, so daily gratitude, daily journaling if you want to, weekly reflections, but also annual goal setting. I usually do that in the format of setting goals or determining what I want to achieve in for my body, for my being, so that includes, you know, anything my soul-wise, my balance on my relationships, anything that's with other people, and my business that can be finances, but that can also be education, etc. In addition to the action steps that I create through that or I reverse engineer through that, I also use more and more visualization and really trying to tap into gaining even more clarity on a basically daily basis. For me, that is in form of meditation, but you can also do that when you're on a walk. You can also do that with creating a vision board, with having nice screensavers, background savers. A lot of people say manifestation or visualization doesn't work, but usually that is because they only do the visualization and they don't take the action. They don't create the possibilities for themselves, don't go out and do stuff. So in my opinion, it only works if it's really conscious co-creation with God or whoever you believe in. And on top of that, still giving out gratitude, showing gratitude, complimenting people more, being that positive source in life. And that will automatically attract more positive things also into your life or more opportunities into your life. And you can be a more positive things just by doing more things that you love, which of course also requires conscious effort. It sounds like, oh, just, you know, you think about what things you love, but you need to consciously build that more into your life and also consciously doing less of what drains you. Sometimes time assessing and just really seeing where your time is more or less wasted, where it's not productive, where it's not productive in the sense of taking you to the life that you love and maybe even stirring you away, what people might be stirring you away, what people might simply be keeping you, it might be more of like a rock on your, or shackles on your legs. and really being kind of radical about who you're giving your energy to and what you're giving your energy to, because in the end, it's the only life that we have. So nonetheless, we do need to acknowledge that there are highs and lows in life and that that's completely normal. If everything was flatlined, we wouldn't be experiencing any highs. So don't, just because you have a bad day, don't take any, or on a bad day in particular, don't take any big actions, don't make any big decisions. Also not when you're low in sleep or when you're super hungry. Just be aware of a flow in energy and it's completely normal. I personally think everybody deserves to live a life that they love. I believe that living a content life or fulfilled life is within all of us. We do need to go out and cultivate that and work for that, though. It is it really is our big mission, I believe, to find that fine line between enjoying what we have now, who we are now, and acknowledging the progress we've already made while setting goals, while working on being even better. We all have such high potential, and I do think that most people don't even get close to what they could possibly be or how they could possibly live. So go out and explore it. If you have any questions in regards to this somewhat different episode and a bit of a rant here, please let me know. Or just in any case, if you have feedback for me, if you enjoyed this episode, I would also love to hear. All my social media handles are in the show notes, so go and follow me on Instagram. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day or week. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to listen to me, and I wish you a wonderful day.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share the episode on social. Very much appreciated. You can also follow us on Instagram at Nutrition Coaching and Life, or head to our website, www.nutritioncoachingandlife.com, where we provide more valuable content. Have a wonderful day. Now go out and work on your best self.